Hello. Welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. All right, welcome, fellow seekers. Glad you have decided to give a listen to our little podcast known as God Beyond the Bible, the podcast by seekers and for seekers. And as we have stated before, we fully understand this podcast is not for everyone. Our mission here at God Beyond the Bible is not to launch an attack on the modern organized church or the Bible itself. However, our goal is to help the seeker understand that God is bigger than any organization man has built, and He's bigger than the pages of a single ancient work. How about shout-outs this week?
Yeah, our shout-outs this week are to Jeff and Dale have been listening.
All right, thanks, Jeff and guys. Dale. And last episode was number 38. And in fact, last week we actually recorded two episodes at one time. Mm-hmm. So this will be coming out. We're a week ahead, and we try to stay a week ahead on our episodes just because sometimes you never know. We had a sick spell around here. Everybody had a cough and was sick for 2 weeks.
Not
so.
Me.
Yeah, everyone except for Tabitha, yeah.
Take your vitamins.
Last episode, number 38, we finished the last of three episodes dedicated to a much closer look at the conflict between Paul and James and how that conflict is clearly laid out in the pages of the New Testament.
In today's episode, we're going to take a new direction. We're going to discuss the effects of toxic people and toxic relationships on our personal lives. So as we dive into segment one, let's begin this first part by defining what we mean when we use the phrase toxic people.
And let me say, in toxic relationship, but let me say what we mean, too. But we're just talking about this, give you an
what
idea.
What we're referring to in this episode what we are referring as toxic to, right? people yeah. and toxic yeah. relationships.
We may not have the psychological or psychiatric
probably not
definition for this. Okay.
Well, even though there have been volumes written on the topic through time, and we are in no way qualified to give out advice
no
or counsel.
No way. To say it, Tabitha. No way,
None.
Are we? Okay.
We want to take a very simple approach to the definition of toxic and just say that we apply it to a person or a relationship who is, or a person that's not good for us spiritually, emotionally, or physically.
Well, I don't know any of those people, but it may be best to just put it this way. An indicator of a person who may be toxic to us may be when the thought of having to be in the presence of that person or to have to engage that person in any way causes us to tense up, we get a knot in our stomach, possibly we can feel our heart rate increase and our blood pressure jump just a couple of points.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think there's a single person here or out there that has not encountered these kinds of people. It's not to say that they are toxic to everyone that they encounter, even though they very well may be, but they certainly are not good for us. And that's the main point of this discussion today. We often encounter these people on a weekly or even daily basis, and our whole day is often brought down by the anticipation of the encounter or the encounter itself.
That's right.
And I read a thing while I was prepping for this podcast that I thought was interesting. It said that the sign of maturity is realizing that you are that toxic person to somebody.
And we could be. I mean, we could be toxic. We try hard not to be, and it's hard for us to see if we are.
Sure.
But we always hope we're not toxic to other people. Right. But we're talking about these, you know, we're talking about a type of person here. And there again, they could be toxic to us. And they may not be toxic to everyone. Maybe they've just singled us out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And by this point, most of us have a person in mind. Yeah. That the very thought of having to talk to them or see them causes us to tense up.
Our relationship with that person may be very casual. And if that's the case, we may be able to simply avoid encountering this person. The truth is, most of the time, our relationship with that toxic person is not by our own choice, and it's usually not on our own terms.
Right. I mean, it could be a person we have to work with or for. It could be a family member who we find ourselves feeling forced to tolerate at functions and gatherings. It may be a person from our club or organization or even our church. Again, these people may not be toxic to everyone they encounter, but they most certainly are to us. And sometimes it seems that they almost zero in on us and use every opportunity to make us feel uncomfortable in their presence. Often it's in the form of these thinly disguised jabs and insults that others don't even pick up on. And they may say things in a joking way that are meant to hurt and humiliate us.
And I'm going to say right here, they'd use those tactics because they're able to say, to convince other people, well, they're just oversensitive. They're just too sensitive to. They're just critiquing everything I say. I can't say anything around them that they don't offend them.
Toxic people, usually, you can see the manipulation factor there.
Oh, absolutely. Because it's very close to narcissism, and we're going to bring that up. And there are narcissistic people, and they know how to read people and use people.
Well, and to keep in mind, you know, guys, every situation's different.
Sure.
Relationships are complicated.
All relationships.
There are certain people who feel empowered over us, and they seem to gain great pleasure in making our lives miserable.
I can't think of anybody right now, but I'm just...
That's line number two so far in this episode.
Since each of us here at God Beyond the Bible have dealt with our share of toxic people, we just thought it might be good to talk about it. Most of us deal with these people throughout our life, and we just write it off to, well, that's just how some people are. But once a person becomes toxic to us, it affects us in all sorts of negative ways, some that we may not even be aware of.
Well, and that's true. And we've got to, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to not just classify people. And we're not talking about overreacting to how
some people
may say something at one point that hurts us a little. And we can get a, but we're going to talk about things like, you know, our Christian, how far does our Christian duty to go? You know, to go into tolerating these people and tolerating this kind of abuse. And it is abuse. It's emotional abuse. It's mental abuse.
How many times do you turn the other cheek?
Well, that's the whole idea. And I just say to people all the time, and I had to say here just recently in my life, and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your son Jesus. And I cannot just go through my life being a doormat for people. I'm not.
Sure.
And I don't think Jesus was a doormat.
No.
I don't think he was in any way a doormat for people to abuse, because when, you know, like the scribes and the Pharisees came up against him, he didn't back down.
No, absolutely
not.
He didn't just say, oh, well, I've got to just, that's just the way they are. I'm gonna, well, anyway, let's go. With that thought, we'll pause to regroup and we'll turn with part two of podcast number 39.
Listeners, welcome back to God Beyond the Bible. Today's topic is about toxic people and toxic relationships. In part one, we gave you our simple little definition of what we think toxic people are.
Toxic to us.
Yeah.
Right?
And we also pointed out that it may be very difficult, if not darn near impossible, to avoid these people in certain areas of our life.
And in this segment, let's just ask some questions and give some answers from our own personal viewpoint and experiences. And listeners, please keep in mind, we're in no way trained to give you advice on how to deal with your particular situation.
No.
If you find yourself feeling hopeless and helpless, seek professional counseling. There is no shame in it whatsoever.
No shame in that.
None.
So let's start with the first question. What are some of the symptoms we may experience that are signs of a person becoming toxic to us?
And of course, that's going to depend on who you ask. But to me, if I dread... if I anticipate encountering that person, we've already talked about that. There's a little knot in my stomach, and I'm already getting anxious. That person's probably toxic to me.
Yes.
Or for me, when I walk away and my teeth are just gritted, every time I see them, even if it's just in a passing for a minute, and I'm just tensed up when I walk away.
Well, you just need to pray about that, I think.
already. Yeah. Yeah. The answer to everything.
Okay. Okay. How does that's another question we need to ask ourselves if we think that someone is toxic to us.
Mm-hmm.
How does an encounter with that person color my day?
Well, for me, it makes my entire day miserable. From the anticipation, from the moment I know I'm going to have to deal with them, I am cranky, I'm irritable, and to everyone around me, because I feel that dread coming.
And it may be, it may be just be the, because I have to talk to them on the phone, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys can hear our air kicking on and off if you hear that.
Or they're hot in Arkansas.
Yeah. Or there's a chance I might run into them at the store. Or
you run into them unexpectedly when you walk around an aisle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
So if no one else seems to have a problem with that person, does that mean it's really all just me and my problem?
And I want to tell you something about toxic people. They want you to think it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And they want other people to think it's just you. If they have zeroed you in on you, and they're to their toxicity, or however that word is, towards you, they've zeroed in on you. Listen, these people are players.
Yes.
And when you see these people that we're discussing, you know, the toxic people, when you see that they have other friends, when you really take a step back and look at those friends, a lot of times you see that they're using each other.
Oh, they do.
The toxic people, you know, it's not really that they have that close-knit relationship.
No, they're just getting something off of one another. And,
you know,
a lot of
even
times
if it is just your problem, it's still a problem for you, and that's all that really matters,
isn't it? That's all we're talking about. We're looking at one side of this.
Yeah.
We're not trying to fix these people.
No.
We're not looking to fix these people, and we're not saying they're bad for everybody they're around, but if they're bad for you.
That's what matters.
Who are we down to?
You go.
Is it C?
I skipped you, didn't I?
I think we did. Okay. That's why I got confused. Am I C?
You're D.
Am I? Okay. All right.
You're Alan. All right.
Here we go. Does my faith as a believer mean that I must continue to put myself in a position to be abused by this person and simply tolerate it? Now, that's a legitimate question, because that's what a lot of believers, trying to be Christ-like, and they're struggling with.
Sure.
It's okay. Now, I need to deal with this. I need to be able to deal with this. I want to be honest with you. As a pastor, I've dealt with toxic people in the church, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this right now. My best days would be when I'd walk in that church and they were absent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this question. There's all kinds of different levels of toxicity.
Yeah.
You have the emotional, you have the spiritual. But if you were if you saw somebody, let's say it was a marriage,
and
that person was physically abusive,
uh-huh.
Would you hesitate to tell them to get out and walk away as fast as they
can?
No,
absolutely not.
So why do we do that when it comes to our own emotional health?
It's just we have this that's pressed in us that we need to be like Jesus.
Right.
And to be like Jesus means we just turn the other cheek. Somebody said that a while ago, Tracy, I think. And we need to just take the abuse. But Jesus wasn't about taking abuse.
No. But like I said, we downplay. If it was physical abuse, there's no question.
Sure.
Emotional abuse, we tend to downplay.
This is just your cross to bear. Yeah.
And even if it just feels like abuse to you. I think, Tabitha, you're E.
Okay, so what if others are telling me I just need to give this person a chance, that they're really not how I think they are?
That one always makes me want to pull my hair out. Or they didn't mean that.
That's
the way you took it.
Yeah, you're just taking everything they say wrong,
mm-hmm.
defending it. And let me tell you about some of these people. Some of these people they're players. They play both sides. They play the people they want to see. They're trying to make you the bad person.
And let's face it, most of us with these, we've given not one chance, not two chances, many, many, or at least for me,
in some cases, years of chances.
Many years. Yes. I can think of one situation nearly 60 years of my life, of my 59 years, that I've given to some of these people. Okay.
Well,
how
does an encounter with that person whom I perceive as toxic to me affect me in the way I treat others, especially those that are close to me?
Well, it makes you miserable, and you're hateful, and you're just, you take it out. I don't care who you are. You take that. Once that toxic person ruins your day and clouds your whole world, then you go home and you take it out on everybody you come in contact with.
Yes.
You take it out on the store clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Just That's my opinion.
No, know? I do. I take it out on my husband as soon as I get home.
And he appreciates it, too.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who might happen to call or text or anything else.
And it might not be that you're really mean to them.
But
you're not going to be as considerate. You're not going to be as considerate to their faith. Okay. When others tell me that if I knew what that person was going through or had been through, I would understand. But is that a reason to excuse their toxic behavior towards me?
No. Manipulators always have a sob story.
Feel sorry for me.
Yes.
It's always they're their victim. Because if they think you're about to cut them off, they'll start, I just don't know what makes me this way. I just don't have any, I just have so much trouble.
Well, and it's kind of one of those things when you see a grown adult making bad choices and they say, well, they just had no upbringing. Well, there's a point to where that really has no more effect because you're an adult, you know right from wrong, you know.
Well, and I just, you know, look, a lot of these people are narcissists and they're manipulators and they're using everybody around them.
Yes.
And they're bouncing friends off of friends. They're going to make themselves look good to the people they want to look good to. And it don't matter how you feel.
Yeah.
They don't care how you feel.
Well, and on that, one of my favorite quotes in the world is, an apology without a change in behavior is just a lie.
Yeah. That's well, I love true. The apology. If I've done something.
Oh, yeah.
And they just stop short of
be
saying.
Be not
and
real
I,
apology.
And I know I haven't. But if you think I've done something, if you're thinking I've done. Anyway, we've talked about that before.
Okay, here's one that I've struggled with. We're always told to love our neighbor as ourselves. But is it wrong to just purely not like to be around someone who we feel has given us reason after reason not to like them?
Now, how many times have we to forgive? 70 times 7.
Mm-hmm. I can remember being mad at Tabby one time when I was a kid and I added it up so I knew how many times.
How many? 490 times?
Yeah.
No, I don't think this is what Jesus was talking about.
No.
Jesus was talking about that person that's purely, they're making some mistakes and they're when a person's out to get you and hurt you, and they're going to hurt you every time they come in contact with you, every opportunity, they don't even have to contact you. They can hurt you by proxy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started
and if that's what they've decided to do, listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. I'm going to shoot from the hip here until that person truly proves to me they've changed and they're not out to hurt me. If your dog bites me every time I come in your yard, I'm not going to go in and say, well, this time he's probably not going to bite me.
Right.
I'm going to go in there expecting he's about to bite me. Or I'm probably just not going to come to your house.
So if God knows my heart, and of course he does, isn't it hypocritical to pretend like a person who brings, to pretend to like a person who brings so much grief into my life?
Of course it is. And I had to go through that myself. I had to go through that recently in myself. And I said, God, I'm not your son. I've already said this. I'm not your son, Jesus. You know how I feel in my heart. And for me to, under a pretense that, oh, I'm doing the right thing. Now I'm going to get God's favor here. God's going to just really be proud of me as long as I do this. That is because in my heart of hearts, God's concerned with what's in my heart. He looks in the heart. Mm-hmm. And he knows I'm hating every minute of it.
Well, and I'm going to be really real. With one of the people in my life, I used to, and you can't see my air quotations, but
she's putting her fingers up. Yeah.
I used to pray for them
with finger quotes,
because you know I thought, hey, I am being a good Christian, I am praying for this person, but you know what, I don't think I ever one time really meant it deep down.
Were you
in my
praying
heart.
Like that country song?
No
it wasn't like I hope
the
your pickup
flower
I'm praying your pickup runs off a cliff or something. Let's don't get too far off the deal here.
Okay.
I'm Jay, right? Is it possible for a toxic relationship to be so stressful that it makes us physically sick?
Yes.
Been there, experienced that.
Yes.
And I know this definitely. For a fact. That relationship, that toxic relationship, no matter who that person is or how important they are in our circle, they can make you physically sick. Mm-hmm. Stress will kill you faster than cancer. In fact, I think everything is linked to stress.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the mind, I think a big part of our illnesses are linked to our state of mind. And we know this is a terrible state of mind.
Right. Okay, so another question. Why is it I find myself doubting and questioning my own good character and often feeling guilty about feeling the way I do about this person?
Because I think by nature we don't want to dislike someone. You don't want to have a problem with a person or have conflict. But especially us. I mean, the three of us know we have a very open relationship with each other. When there's a problem, we can discuss it and we can move past it. And you feel like that same thing should carry through the rest of your life.
And let's remember, these toxic people want you to feel like it's your fault.
Yes.
They desire, they feed, for whatever reason, they feed off of you being miserable and then telling you it's your fault.
Well, and we are being preached to all the time that you have to just
forgive. Endure this. You've got to endure this. If you're a good Christian, you'll just take this stuff and just swallow it down and just go on. And I think
I think that's an L.
Okay, L. Oh, it is an L. Okay. I can't even read. There's
How
no
does it
there.
Feel to finally make the decision and take the necessary steps to limit or even end a relationship with a person
it
like that?
It feels darn good.
Yeah. Very freeing.
It's liberating to finally. Now, I don't talk about going and cussing the person out. And so I'm talking about, okay, starting today, you're cut off.
Mm-hmm.
This ends today. Today starts a new day and starting today. And I guess, so you guys, anything else on that?
No.
All right. With that thought, we'll pause, regroup for part three. And of course, our conclusion and our topic is toxic people and toxic relationships.
Welcome back to part 3 of episode 39 of God Beyond the Bible. Today we're discussing what we believe to be an important topic that at some time in life affects every single one of us. It's about dealing with toxic people and toxic relationships.
Now we spent the last segment, a little bit longer than the first, but we spent the last segment just asking and answering some questions personally concerning the effects of toxic people in our lives, emotionally and physically.
Right. And in this segment, we're going to talk about some things we may do to try to deal with the situation that has such a negative effect on our personal, professional, and family life.
Is the answer always to just cut the ties? I mean, the truth is, as we said in the beginning, relationships are complicated. And there really aren't any cut and dried, one-size-fits-all methods of dealing with any complication in any relationship.
Right.
The things we need to do is an evaluation on the severity of the effects of the toxic person in our lives. And these are just some questions I'm throwing out there. Is that person making our professional work life miserable? I mean, I'm just going to tell you, folks, I've had some good jobs that I quit because there were some jerks.
Mm-hmm.
And those jerks seem to go up the ladder faster than anybody I've ever seen in the job.
Well, when everyone quits around you.
Well, I guess there's
no
place to go up.
Oh,
I never thought of that. Okay, are they causing me to be so distracted that my performance in my job is negatively affected?
Good question.
Are my personal relationships suffering because of how this person treats me? I mean, you come home at night and, you're wired and ready for a row, but it's not with the source of the problem. Am I suffering emotionally and or physically over the effect this person has on me? I might talk to a friend of mine and he had quit a job that he had been a career for several years. And he said, I was having all kinds of physical things. And said, I went to the doctor and said, my blood pressure was through the roof, my heart rate. And said, you're going to have to. And he said, I quit the job because I was going to die. It was going to give me a heart attack. Am I suffering? And we're talking about, do I find myself struggling with being happy and feeling guilty because I know I have so much to be happy and thankful for, but this person seems to have made it their personal mission to hurt me?
Is it bad that I go through answering all of the questions?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we answer it. And I hope that's what everybody's doing. This is a little test that I've put together of if I'm dealing with a toxic person that's, let's just be ruining my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And let us state at this point, we do not believe anyone has the right to demean, berate, insult, or humiliate another individual, no matter what position of power they may wield over us.
And that's a matter if it's your boss.
Doesn't matter who it is.
If it's a fellow employee that has seniority on us, it ain't worth it, folks.
No. And as we said earlier, sometimes as difficult as it may be, in certain situations, we can just choose not to be around the person.
Oh, those are the best ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And just basically cut them out of our life, or at least eliminate their opportunities to hurt us.
And it's all about reducing the opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really about, I mean, eliminates the best choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To me, eliminates the best choice. Just get that person out of your life. And you say, oh, yeah, but, you know, but we'll talk about that. Okay. There's a saying we have around here. I'm talking about in our little family that goes like this. It may be time to get Jonah off your boat. If you think about it, when Jonah was running from the commission God gave him to go to Nineveh, he jumped on a ship going in the opposite direction. The men on that boat were innocent of Jonah's messed up life of running from God. However, we're told that the men on that boat found themselves in a life and death struggle to survive due to a storm that had erupted due to what?
Jonah's
presence on the boat. And where was Jonah, by the way, when all of this was going on?
He was snoring away down below deck.
Peacefully. Yeah. While the men were struggling to save their very lives and had thrown their precious cargo overboard to lighten the ship, all the while Jonah was below deck sleeping the sleep of the dead. Mm-hmm. He was sound asleep. Only when they tossed him overboard did the storm cease. So sometimes we do need to get Jonah off the boat.
Yes.
Yes. And sometimes a good, honest, non-aggressive confrontation will help. And this is usually only effective if the person who's become toxic to us genuinely doesn't realize that they are being hurtful to you. If the way they're treating you is intentional and personal, they may likely kick it up a notch and become even more aggressive in their actions towards you. If we choose this approach, it might be appropriate to have a witness to the whole event, or possibly, you know, a mediator of sorts who can moderate it.
And if one should choose this approach, keep in mind that you must not let the person anger or frustrate you, because they know how to push your buttons. And in doing so, they can distract you from your mission, and you end up walking away feeling really foolish.
Yes, and we know they can do that.
Oh, yeah.
They're powerful. They have studied us.
Mm-hmm.
They have honed in and studied us, and they know how to do this. Well, let's think about this. What if family harmony or even my career is at stake? It probably comes down to just how much we're willing to put up with for that, and I'm going to say, false sense of harmony.
Yeah.
Or for the money. And if that sounds like I'm oversimplifying the situation, it's probably because it is. But there are so many variables in every situation that, again, there is no cut and dried one-size-fits-all solution. But think about it. If you keep your career at the risk of personal happiness or ruining your other personal relationships, not to mention wrecking your emotional and physical health, is it worth it?
Absolutely not.
Is it worth ruining your holidays, the time when you're supposed to be happy with your family because of
this one person that's going to be there?
That just colors your whole outlook on the whole entire event.
I have a friend who lives 3 states away from us now, and she used to live here close by. And she moved away and she said, the reason I did is because of this toxic person in my life. And they were a family member. And she said, the only way to truly cut them out was for me to be 3 states away where they can't get to me anymore.
And that's sad, but it's worth it.
Yes. It's worth it.
Let me say something about cutting these people out of your life, too, because I need to go ahead and say this. It's been on my mind, and I need to say this. If you make the decision to cut that person out of your life, and it's a situation where you can, and you can get that person cut out of your life. If you're still friends with them on Facebook, if you're still following them on Facebook, you haven't cut them out of your life.
No,
they
have
still
not.
Have control over you.
Yes.
They're controlling your life vicariously. And if you have other people that say, oh, I saw what so-and-so posted the other day. Did you see what they posted? If you're still doing that mess, you're building your own, you're digging your own hole there.
Yeah.
Until you stop any contact with that person, even on your part, because they know, I'm telling you folks, this is serious. They know they have power over you, and they know you're getting word of what they're doing.
And it may sound super harsh to say, especially if you're talking about, you know, not just a job or something, to say, I cut that person out of my life. But let me tell you, if it's for the benefit of your health and your family, your immediate family, sometimes you have to do it.
Yes.
It's so, just, and to me, that's the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the real answer. Now, it's more complicated if your career's at stake. And
right.
There are some things that are, and I'm not, sure. Guys, we're not talking about people that just irritate you a little bit.
No. Or somebody who honestly messes up once. Yeah. We're not talking about that.
We're just talking about people who have just zeroed in on you and made it there to make your life miserable. It brings them great pleasure to make you miserable.
Yeah. And it's possible, if not likely, that the person has directed their negative aura towards you because you are a good person.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're known for doing the right things and treating others as you would like to be treated. You try to live by your values and morals, and you're loved by all who know you and appreciate the efforts you put into your relationships. The truth is, often these good character qualities are what make you a target for these people. They know your kind demeanor and good ethic will restrain you from responding to their selfish, and often narcissistic behavior.
And let me go ahead and say right here, I'm going to just pick up and say right here, when you cut this person off, they don't know how to react.
No.
They're depending on you to be that good Christian person that just tolerates them and puts up with their nonsense. And when you say that's enough, they don't know how. They're not used to it.
No.
They're not expecting you to
When you cut somebody off, they lose that control. Because
they've lost their power.
You're no longer reacting to anything.
Yeah, and that's why I say the Facebook thing.
Yes.
Leave that mess alone.
Absolutely.
Don't let people come to you and say, did you see what so-and-so posted?
Don't care.
Hey, stop. I'll cut you off. You'll be next. Do you want to be next? All right.
Well, we often think if they only knew me and what kind of a person I am, they would like me too. But the reality is they do know you and they know what kind of person you really are. And that's what they resent the most.
And maybe it's a jealousy thing, you know,
part of it. But if it is, that's not my problem.
No, it's not. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes when they know that everyone likes you, that just causes that.
But that doesn't fix everything.
No.
Say, oh, honey, they're just jealous of you.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't fix
everything. Well, you know, or you're portraying the good qualities in a person that they either cannot or will not cultivate in their own life. So they prefer to try to make you as miserable as they are.
And I know there's all kinds of people coming in.
Yeah, this is a pattern with these folks, and you and I are not likely going to be able to fix them. In fact, they don't want to be fixed because they are convinced that there's nothing wrong with them. It's you who is defective, and you are the one who has
a
problem.
You need thicker skin.
And they take a lot of time convincing other people you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one. Are we finished?
I think we conclude.
Okay. We realize that even if we were qualified to do so, we could not cover all the implications of dealing with toxic people in a single episode, or even a whole year's worth of episodes. Our goal is to help you begin to sort out this whole situation, and mainly to point out that even though these people are so good at making it look like you're the one who has the problem, they know exactly what they're doing. Please remember, nothing's worth allowing your happiness and peace of mind to be destroyed. Yeah. There's not a job. There's not a church. There's not a family function that's worth this. We must not allow these mean-spirited people to drag us down into their pit of despair, and certainly not allow them to provoke us into foolish behavior or violence. It may not seem applicable in this sense, but even Jesus told his disciples to shake the dust from their feet as a testimony against those who would not accept them and their mission. It can often serve the situation well to get professional counseling on how to handle the problem, especially if it's to the point that it's about to become something terrible. But again, no one has the right to demean you, to anger and humiliate you, no matter what position they occupy in your life. Now, we sincerely hope this episode's been of some help to you, especially if you're in a situation where someone has become toxic to you.
Always, as always, we pray for God's grace, love, and peace to be on each of you, our fellow seekers.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.